Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Football Garbage Time NFL Podcast. My name is Stephen Wong, and I'm the editor-in-chief of Football Garbage Time. And with me, as always, is Trevor Scores from Full Press Coverage and Rep the District. Man, Trev, how you been?
Oh, man, I'm busy, bro, but I'm good. How you been?
Doing great. And I know you're busy and doing something awesome right now. Want to tell our listeners all about it? You're opening a bar, right?
Actually going to be opening up a bar here in the next few weeks, probably after Thanksgiving. It's called Sky Bar, S-K-Y, Sky Bar, like a little speakeasy type sports bar type thing. So
sweet.
I'm really anxious to get it open, and I'm super busy getting it ready. So,
oh, I can imagine. It's going to be so awesome. Everyone should go check it out. We'll watch Sunday football and Thursday night football and Monday night football. Everybody should just go watch all their football at Skywar. Let's just be honest here. Let's just be honest. Everybody go there and get lots of drinks. That sounds awesome, man. But you can't wait. Hey, and of course, right before you open it up, we have Thanksgiving, right around the corner. Are you a Thanksgiving guy at all, Trev?
Of course. I love Thanksgiving, bro.
Nice. So do I. I love Thanksgiving as well. So what's your favorite Thanksgiving food?
Honestly, sweet potatoes with marshmallows on top. That's
sweet potatoes and mushrooms. It's essentially dessert.
Man.
You're essentially going for dessert. That's like a food. That's like a side dish masquerading as a dessert. Or dessert masquerading as a side dish.
That's delicious, man.
Of course it's delicious. You're melting marshmallows all over the top. Of course it's going to be delicious. I have to tell you this. I may be on an island here, but I actually like boxed stovetop stuffing. I know I'm a crazy person. Everyone thinks I'm a nutcase.
Yeah,
I love that stuff.
That's crazy. That's delicious, too.
It's
really hard to have a favorite food because it's all so good. But box, that's fine.
Stovetop, man. I mean, I love it. Okay, good. I'm glad you're on my side on this because I thought everyone thinks I'm crazy. I love that stuff.
Hey.
And you know what else? And now I feel like I really think I'm crazy. I like my cranberry out of the can. I like it out of the can. I like slice it like Jello. That's what I want to eat. Like people come with this cranberry sauce, it's all kind of mixed up in a bowl. I want mine out of the can.
I don't want to take the cranberry.
That's right.
I want just cranberry sauce, like the solid. Out of a can, it's perfectly fine with me.
Perfect. That's right. If it's not round and cylindrical, it's not cranberry sauce, guys. Just saying. Oh man! All right. Well, Thanksgiving. I'm getting hungry. Just talking about this. I might have to go pick up some wings at your bar next week. All right. Well, hey, we got plenty to talk about today, including the Washington football team's surprising win against the Buccaneers, the impact of Chase Young's injury, previewing Week 11 NFC East matchups, as well as fantasy football plays, our worst five teams in the NFL, and so much more. So let's get rolling. All right, let's just start with this first, because I know that this is a rare occasion, Trevor. We're going to talk about an impressive win by the Washington football team. They beat the Buccaneers. The Buccaneers were favored by 10.5. Over-under was 51, by the way. They just missed that combined score, but they beat them by a score of 29-19. So that's an impressive win for the Washington football team. What are your thoughts here? Is this something more of what we are going to see into the rest of the season, or is this kind of an aberration, kind of a one-off here?
It's really hard to tell right now, because you preluded in your intro to Chase Young injury, and we already have Montez Sweat down. But it seems like Taylor Heineke has Tampa Bay's number for some reason, or maybe Tom Brady's number or Bruce Arians. I don't know. Somebody down there in Tampa's number. It's really hard to tell right now, but they did show that they took the bye week seriously. It wasn't just about vacationing and living the superstar life. It was about getting better, focusing, and coming out with a bang for the second half of the season. And they showed that on the field. We caught some breaks, not going to lie. Completely honest. We had a couple of drop picks that were, like I just said, dropped. But for the most part, I give our team an A- at least. I mean, we were great. It's really hard to tell because we just, wet the bed on some against a team who's not as good as the Bay in the same division. So We got to play around like we just tried Tampa Bay. Same mentality, same thing. So it's hard to tell if it's a fluke or not, but I am very happy with what happened on Sunday. Very happy.
Yeah, definitely. I would assume so. I tweeted out at you and Wole and Adam about it right after the fact, because I was like, my jaw was on the ground. I'm like, that is impressive. That is the defense that I thought that the Washington football team was going to bring into the season. That's what I thought was going to happen. Yeah. You know, picking off Tom Brady twice, holding them to under 300 yards. Man, that's impressive. That's impressive against the Buccaneers. Now, granted, the Buccaneers are on a little bit of slide, and they're on a two-game losing streak right now. They did lose to the New Orleans Saints the week before. Yeah. But that being said, they were primed to bounce back, and Washington football at that point.
Too, but
yeah. Yeah. I mean, the fact of the matter is that the Washington football team before last weekend was the worst passing defense in the NFL. And now after 1 week, it's amazing what has happened. Of course, the most impressive thing to me, okay, so not being a Washington football specific fan, but keeping a close eye on the game, what was impressive to me was Tyler Heinicke's last drive. 19 plays, 80 yards, touchdown, more than 10 minutes on the clock in the final quarter. That's how you keep the Buccaneers from winning, right? You keep Brady off the field. And Brady, I thought that was brilliant.
Bro, you could see on his face. He was so mad.
Right, because he knows. He gets on the – yeah.
It's crazy because it's so fast. And you would think that for them to allow 19 plays without coming off the field, that's kind of just – that's just crazy. Like, shout out to our offense, of course, but like – that's just suspect, so whatever.
Yeah.
And did you notice on Monday night, after Stafford threw that pick, the Niners took a 19-play, 93-yard, 11-minute drive down for their first score. So I was like, old Kyle Shanahan misses the Washington football team a little bit. Took some notes from the night before.
There it is.
Used it to his advantage. I mean, literally, that's exactly what happened. So
That is the way you got to do it. Yeah, when you're playing a high-powered offensive team like that, the Rams or the Buccaneers, you have to control time of possession, and that's exactly what – and not only control time of possession, but end your control of time of possession with a touchdown. That is absolutely brilliant. I mean, they bled away a sixth of the game and got a touchdown. That is absolutely brilliant in the fourth quarter. Now, let's pivot a little bit, because we talked about Chase Young, right? We now got confirmation from Ron Rivera. He's out for the remainder of the season. Rivera didn't specify the exact nature of the injury, but from what we understand, it is a torn ACL that will require surgery. You know, he's obviously had a little bit of a down year this year. I mean, he was defensive rookie of the year last year, so it's hard to exceed that in your second year, but he's only had 1.5 sacks this year. And he suffered the injury 7 minutes, 49 seconds left in the second quarter against Tampa Bay. And it was pretty obvious when he went down without much contact that it was going to be a serious injury. So as you mentioned Pontez Sweat suffered a broken jaw October 31st at Denver. He's going to miss about 3 to 5 weeks. Right now you got Casey Tuhill and James Smith-Williams likely to start at the end positions. Rookie Shaka Toney is a primary backup. All three, interestingly, are seventh-round picks. Now replacing two first-round picks. So not exactly the situation you want to have. But, Trev, what do you think here, the impact on the Washington football team on losing Chase Young for the season?
I think it's a bigger impact than people might think, and some people might agree with me on this. But, he only had 1.5 sacks, but teams still game plan for Chase Young because it's Chase Young, which means you don't know when he's going to break out at any moment. Like,
that's true.
Just that type of player. Just because he didn't have a sack the first game, he could come back the next game and have five. You just never know. So now teams don't have the game plan for him or Montez Sweat. And Casey Tuhill and James Smith-Williams haven't shown enough on film to wow anybody or to make anybody pay attention to what they do. So
right,
it's
going
to be really
right.
hard on the field to replace Chase Young and Montez Sweat, but especially Chase Young. But I think, I mean, you saw his display of leadership and his love for the team and his brothers. For him to come back out right after immediately being declared out, as soon as it got to, well, first of all, refusing the cart to go back.
Yeah, he walked in. Yeah.
He walked
amazing.
In, and then he came right out after being declared out immediately, came right back out in a walking brace, knee boot thing, whatever, on crutches, yelling for his teammates. That's just the leadership he displayed right there that he has, that he possesses. So off the field, I think it will be just fine. He's going to everybody's ear. He's going to be, you know, the inspiration, the heartbeat, as some people like to say, of that team. But
right.
on the field, it's going to be affected, I think, tremendously. But we'll
yeah.
see what happens.
Well, you know, at this point, it's just kind of a moral victory to get that type of win to show that there's potential for the future. Most of the game played without without Chase Young. So, you know, there's
mm-hmm.
it's nice to know there is potential out there. But let's be honest. I don't think this is going to be a repeat performance. You know, maybe he was predicted for five, you know, three more wins. There's one of them. Maybe he'll get three more wins. You know, who knows? But either way, I think that at this point it is a little bit of a rebuild going into next year. And that's fine because Chase Young will be back better than ever after surgery. We all know that's going to happen. So that will be good for next year. All right. Well, let's go ahead and turn the page on that and hit the boxing bell. And let's talk about our sponsor, Manscaped, for a second. Because, hi, we should talk about Manscaped,
yeah.
right? I mean, we should talk about grooming below the waist. That's obviously something that everyone's interested in. And they support Football Garbage Time. So we support them. And we support their precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. So Manscaped, as you know, everybody, launched their fourth-generation trimmer, the Lawnmower 4.0. And we have the Lawnmower 4.0. And 2 million other men around the world have the Lawnmower 4.0. So you go ahead and go get it. That's what I'm saying. Go get it. 20% off, free worldwide shipping with the code GARBAGETIME at manscaped.com. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code GARBAGETIME at manscaped.com. All right. Let's talk about the upcoming week and NFC East and the NFC East, and let's preview some of those games. And let's start with the Washington football team, who are going to be playing the Carolina Panthers. And I think, Trev, you and I kind of foreshadowed this game last week when we talked about the fact that Ron Rivera going back to his old stomping ground and Cam Newton getting his first start of the season with the Panthers. And, of course, Cam Newton played last week in limited fashion. And in his own words, he's back, everybody.
Yeah.
He made sure everyone knew that. He even got a 15-yard penalty for saying that and taking off his helmet. But that being said, he looked pretty good in limited action, and he's going to start, which makes a whole lot of sense. But what are your thoughts here about the Washington football team and the Carolina Panthers right now? So everyone knows Carolina Panthers favored by 3.5, over under at 43. What do you think, Trev?
I think it's going to be a dog fight. I think it's more than just a game for so many reasons. Cam Newton's
right.
first game back as a starting Panther quarterback at
right.
home. Ron Rivera, his Super Bowl coach, coming back for the second time in Ron's career, the first time playing against each other. Curtis Samuel, even though he's not playing, he's going back. Like, it's one big Kyle Allen, our backup, our first-string quarterback, he's going back. Taylor Heineke, our starting quarterback, who was Kyle Allen's backup in Carolina under Ron Rivera, is going back. Scott Turner going. Like, it's one big family reunion all the way from the front office to the field. But
right.
I think it's more than that, because I think everybody has something to prove in this game. Ron Rivera has to prove he can beat Cam Newton. Cam has to prove to Ron that we should have signed him early in the season. Ron has to prove that he shouldn't have gotten fired in Carolina. You know, it's just so much stuff to prove. I think it's going to be a back-and-forth dogfight. But what scares me the most is Christian McCaffrey on the offensive
yeah, yeah.
side of the ball, because what yep. he did last week was amazing after being hurt almost all year.
Yeah.
Looks like he was never hurt. And then also on the defensive side of the ball, Stephon Gilmore. He's been with the Panthers for
yep.
four games, but he's played in three, and he's had a pick in all three of those games. So it's going to be a tough one. It's going to be a big, big game. Big game Sunday.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be really interesting to see how it all plays out. I mean, obviously, Washington coming off an emotional win, and the Panthers coming off an emotional moment getting Cam Newton back. Man, we like blew up the station. We're talking about Washington football, and we blew up the station. Blog Talk
what
Radio
else?
Couldn't handle us. We're too much for Blog Talk Radio. They just couldn't handle the both of us. So they shut us down. Anyway, thanks for sticking around, everybody. Sorry about that interlude. Let's just go ahead and move it on to our next game of the NFC East, and that's the New Orleans Saints at the Philadelphia Eagles, which 1 p.m. on Sunday. Philadelphia Eagles favored by 2.0 points, over under at 43. Give us your thoughts on the Saints and the Eagles, Trev.
Oh, man, this thing's not open again. The Eagles are
yep.
looking a lot better than they did a few weeks ago. It feels
yep.
like Jalen Hurts and Devontae Smith are getting the Alabama connection back.
Yes, they are.
And then the Saints. I mean, I don't know if that win over the Buccaneers was a fluke. Trevor Siemian is still has the keys to the car, so it's going to be interesting. This is wide open. Where is the game? Yeah. Is it at Philly or is it in New Orleans?
At Philly. It's going to be at Philly. Ooh. So it's interesting. It's interesting because if it was at New Orleans, I would say Saints all the way. At Philly is a little tough. It's a tough place to play. But you know what? I mean, I really do think the Saints look good. You know what I mean? I really do. And they played so well, even though they lost last week by 2 points. I mean, they lost to arguably one of the hottest teams, I should say, in the NFL right now, the Tennessee Titans. And it was only by 2 points. And they didn't have Alvin Kamara. So, you know, I think that they get Alvin Kamara back, and this is going to be a very different-looking team. And the Eagles – hey, listen, I'm not hating on the Eagles. They have become run first behind Jordan Howard, of all people. I love Jordan Howard. I said this last week. I love Jordan Howard. But you know what? He's not really the guy you want to be at the top of your running back pecking order. But that being said, they're getting it done on the ground, and I think it's a little bit of smoke and mirrors. And, you know, I do think the Saints defense is much better than the Eagles defense. Eagles, by the way, have the fourth least sacks of any defense in the NFL this season. So it is, they're not really putting a lot of pressure on anybody. And you know what? Siemian looks good. He looks like a perfectly capable game manager, you know? So I'm feeling like Philly's not going to win this one. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm going with Saints. Honestly, Philly's in my division. At the end of the day, the Saints have a stronger defense and a stronger team, so.
Yeah, and I mean, it's interesting because, you know, it's not like the Eagles are bad. It's just that they're really not – I don't know what their identity is yet, and I don't think they know what their identity is yet. But Devontae Smith is a star in the making. He is going to be amazing in this league once he has a capable pocket passer that can get him the ball accurately every time. Jalen Hurts, I'm not hating on Jalen Hurts. He's, a perfectly fine quarterback, but I don't think he's a long-term answer in Philly. But Devontae Smith is. That guy – is sick, and he's going to be I think he's going to be amazing in the future, assuming he stays there. All right, let's talk about the next thing on our list, and that's Thrive Fantasy, because we got to talk about our sponsor, Thrive Fantasy. Prop up on Thrive Fantasy's football season, win money, daily fantasy sports and esports app for player props. You thrive, as I always say, every week. You eliminate the countless hours of research, focus on the top-tier athletes, choose 10 of the 20 available player props to build your lineup, and win money, because Thrive guarantees $140,000 in prizes every week, awarded over 4 million so far. It's got to be more than 4 million by now. I keep saying that every week. It's like half a season. Probably like 5 million. Let's just make it up. Let's just say 5 million. They awarded 5 million. Yeah, even, you know, at 5 million, I would think that even Kanye has to pay attention, you know? I mean, I don't think he needs it, but I think I think 5 million to him is like, oh, that's nice, right? That's a good amount of money. Yeah. Right. Anyway, use promo code GARBAGETIME when you sign up today, and you'll receive 100% instant first deposit match up to $100. So that's promo code GARBAGETIME. Download Thrive Fantasy the App Store or Play Store, or visit their website at www.thrivefantasy.com. Sign up and prop up today. All right, let's talk about the Dallas Cowboys at the Kansas City Chiefs. Dallas Cowboys, Kansas City Chiefs, 4:25 p.m. on Sunday. Kansas City Chiefs are favored by 2.5, over-under at a rockin' 56. This could be a shootout. What do you think here about the Cowboys at the Chiefs?
This is like prime time written all over it. I'm surprised it's not a prime time game. But,
me too.
Ooh, man, this is going to be another good game. The Cowboys are the real deal. I'm sorry I hate to say that, but as of right now, they are the real deal. But they really haven't played any elite offenses like the Kansas City Chiefs. Yeah, they've struggled. They're 6-4. So let's be honest, they are City Chiefs. I mean, they were struggling when they played against us, and we said, oh, they're struggling. Yeah, 31-13 later, we found out how bad they really are. So, oh, man, this is tough. Arrowhead is a tough place to play. It's getting colder now. It's a late game, so it'll get dark a little earlier now. So I'm going to Kansas City. I think they found their rhythm last week against the Raiders. Yes, the Raiders, but you have to find a rhythm against somebody, and they chose the Raiders, a division opponent at that. So
I'm
going Chiefs in a tight one, but the Chiefs to pull away at the end.
Yeah, and you know what? I mean, the fact of the matter is that Patrick Mahomes, we've been saying that he's had some issues recently, and he put that all to rest, winning 41-14 over the Raiders, as you said. He was the Mahomes we all expected, right? Over 400 passing yards, five touchdowns. He was basically completing everything under the sun. And it was like, wow, okay, there he is. Yeah. You can have one bad game, you can have two bad games, you can have three bad games. Yeah. But if you're that caliber of athlete, you're not going to be bad forever. So I think this is going to be a very interesting game to watch. It's certainly the Chiefs are on the upswing. Cowboys just beat the crap out of the Atlanta Falcons. So it'll be really interesting to see what happens here. And like you said, Arrowhead, to me, does make a difference. It is very difficult to play there. I think that the Chiefs will get this one as well. I think the Chiefs are going to win this in a close one, in a shootout, too. I think there's going to be a shootout. Both defenses are bend-not-break defenses. I think there's going to be a lot of breaking on this game. All right, let's get to the last game of the NFC East, and that is the New York Giants at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Monday Night Football, 8:15 p.m. on ESPN. Tampa Bay Buccaneers are favored by 11. Over-under is 49.5. And I got to say this. Because Tampa Bay, you know, they lost against the Saints. And then I thought, uh-oh, they're going to face the Washington football team, and they're just going to take all their frustrations out on the Washington football team. And look at what happened. The Washington football team turned around and beat them by, you know, more than one score, impressively, in an impressive fashion, and without most of the game without Chase Young. Now the New York Giants come off the bye. They've been struggling pretty heavily. They did have a win coming out, going into the bye, and so they're 3-6. But, man, I kind of feel bad for the Giants playing against Tampa Bay in primetime coming off the bye, because I can't imagine that Tom Brady's not like, I'm just going to destroy these guys. You know what I mean? Like, it's my mission to just to quell all the questioners out there and just destroy the Giants on Monday Night Football. What do you think?
Man, I'm going to be completely honest. I think this has this is the upset special game right here for
me.
Yeah. They're both, I mean, New York's coming off of a bye, but they're potentially getting, I love that sound. They're potentially getting Saquon back, Kenny Galladay back, Kadarius Toney back. Their defense is not a slouch. They're in every game they play this year. They've kept them in every single game for the most part. And their defense isn't that bad. Tampa Bay, you came off a bye. You had a whole week to get together. You didn't. You went to bed against us on Sunday. Tom Brady's not getting Gronk back, probably. He's not getting Antonio Brown, definitely, probably the back of this fake COVID thing. Scotty Miller is nowhere to look to return. So I don't know, man. I mean, yes, Tampa Bay probably will win. He's back at home. It's prime time. You can't look that bad on prime time. But if anybody's going to beat – if anybody's going to upset anybody, this is the game right here. Giants are the
game. Well, yeah. I love the cop. There you go. There's a round of applause here for taking that take. I mean, that is bold. That is a bold prediction if I ever heard one. And, of course, Vita Vey also questionable for the game, so that would be a big deal. Yeah. Richard Sherman placed on injured reserve. So, you know, not the only ones. Chris Godwin's still questionable, entirely possible he's going to come back. And, of course, the Giants should get back a fully healthy Saquon Barkley this week. So, you know, I love it. I love the guts. I love the bravery. But I think you're going to be wrong. I think the Buccaneers are going to win this one. I think they're going to.
I think I am too, but whatever.
I just think at home, you know, it's going to be tough for them not to win this. And there's a lot of pressure. And I have a feeling that – and Tom Brady – as much as I hate the dude, he's obviously one of the best there ever was that played the position, and he thrives on pressure. And he has a thing for the Giants. Of course, the Giants also have Brady's number, so who knows? It could be really interesting. I'm excited to see how the game's going to go, but I would be surprised if the Buccaneers don't win this one. Hey, who knows? You know, at the end of the day, it would be really – it could be close. It could be close. That's what I'll say. All right. Let's go ahead and ring the boxing bell on that one and move on to our last topic of the night, and that is our bottom five ranked teams in the NFL pre-week 11. And we haven't done this in a while. It's been about a month now since we did our bottom five NFL teams. So I think it's a good time to revisit that because there's been a lot of shakeup in the last 4 weeks. So, Trev, give us your bottom five, starting with the worst team in the NFL.
Is the Detroit Lions, hands down. Sorry. Mm-hmm. They're so close. Every week they're so close.
Yeah, especially last week.
So, yeah, I know.
That's a bummer for them.
The Steelers, really? Whatever. Anyways, Lions, then you got the Jets down there. Then you got, because, I mean, Mike White was
It's a nice story. It just didn't work.
Yeah, very nice story. Now you got Joe Flacco.
Oh, my God, Joe Flacco. Let me just say this, okay?
Yes.
I have a good friend. I have a really good friend, and she's related to Joe Flacco. So I'm not gonna bust on Joe Flacco, because I'll say that, you know, he is a nice guy, but he is not the future of the New York Jets. And I understand that Mike White totally shat the crap out of that game. But you know what? You got to figure out if he's the viable backup to Zach Wilson or not, or if you're going to look for some other backup, because it's not going to be Joe Flacco, right? So just give him some. You're not going anywhere. You're 2-7. So give Mike White more snaps until Zach Wilson gets back. If he looks good enough to keep as your backup, great. Maybe he's the number three quarterback in your quarterback room. That's great. You know it's not going to be Joe Flacco. So that's just a waste. That's a waste of a week, New York Jets. Again, you're losing, and you can't even do that right. I'm just saying. Jeez. All right.
Who they play?
I'm sorry?
Who
are
the Jets
playing
this weekend? The
Jets are playing. Why is it escaping me? I have it right at the tip of my tongue here. The Jets are playing the Miami Dolphins.
Oh, Joe Flacco is going to win that game.
Yeah, this would be. Well,
all right,
you know.
So keep going. So then we got the Washington football team. We're down there.
Whoa,
sure.
Down at 3? You got to put the Washington football team down there? Okay, all right.
Sure. I mean, Sunday was a nice win, but let's be honest, it was our third win. So
okay.
Then we got Jacksonville down there.
Yes.
Although they're trending in the right way. They're starting to come along and get the identity a little bit, figure each other out.
Yep.
That's cool, right?
This is tough because I know they've won 2 in a row, the Dolphins, but I have a tie between the Dolphins and your Chicago Bears.
Okay, all right. I'll allow it.
The Bears,
I mean, yeah, Justin Fields, he's starting to, you know, get it, starting to understand what it takes to be a starting quarterback, so you never know.
Yep.
And the Dolphins, yeah, they won 2 in a row, but I still – it just doesn't feel like they have for some reason. They just don't
look like they are
a legitimate threat to anybody, so – There we go.
That's true. They are not. They do not seem like a legitimate threat to anybody.
Beat the Ravens. Like that was just weird. Like
that was a really fun game. I mean, you know, I had a lot of friends who are Ravens fans, and they were very upset, obviously. But that was a fun game because it was just like backwards day. It was like opposite day. You know, like what is happening right now? How is Lamar Jackson not scoring on them? And how is it? It's like, what is happening? Then it just seems like, anyway, did he not have his Wheaties? I mean, something was definitely off.
Man.
Well, okay, so that's a good list. That's a good list. You had the Lions, Jets, Washington football team, Jacksonville Jaguars, and then Dolphins, Bears bringing up the rear. I have one team that's not on your list, the Houston Texans, as the worst team in the NFL.
I keep forgetting about them because
they're so bad. They basically don't qualify as an NFL team. I get it.
The last noise they made was trading Mark Ingram, and after that, it's like, okay, I don't even know who the receivers are, to be honest, bro. I just know David Sills. I don't know who's their best lineman.
It doesn't matter.
They
barely qualify as an actual team.
That's crazy.
They're like, if this was the Premier League, over in England or in the UK, they would have been relegated to the next lower level. They would have been playing college football teams right now because they're not good enough to be in the NFL. So that's what I think.
That's
so
pretty sad,
I get it.
Bro. I forgot all about the Texans. I legit forgot about them. Wow.
That's okay. They're actually not as bad as – I don't think they're as bad as everyone thinks they are, but I do think they are the worst. And then I do think that the Lions are number 2, the Jets are number 3, Jaguars after that, and then the Dolphins after that. So we agree about all that stuff. But I actually took your Washington football team out of the bottom 5 because they showed a lot of moxie. I know people use that terminology a lot, but they showed a lot of moxie, and they had a great big win against a really good team in a big spot, you know, proving that there is a vision there. There is something there that they can build on. There is some hope that they can build on this and become better. It's not just a completely lost year. That was my takeaway from it. So that's why I elevated the Washington football team just outside the bottom 5.
We'll take it.
They're probably tied with my Bears because the Bears, the problem with the Bears is everything, but also the fact that Justin Fields has a lot of growing pains. I still have faith in the kid. I think he's going to be great, but I do think that it's going to take some time, and it's going to take us some opportunity to rebuild that offensive line. I mean, he just cannot be taking hits over and over and over again. I know what it feels like, because RG3 had the same problem. He took plenty of hits.
Running for his life, bro, yeah.
Yeah, he's always running for his life, and he was very effective running for his life. But it's hard to make your hay in the NFL consistently, year to year, game to game, as guy running for your life, unless you're Russell Wilson. And even that caught up to him eventually, with the injury that put him out for 4 weeks. And thankfully for him, he's Wolverine from the X-Men, because he healed so fast that he was back in no time.
Maybe a little too fast. He didn't look like himself at all.
He did not look good. He did not look good. I agree. There was something wrong there. He didn't look good. Was that better to put him in now to try to salvage the season rather than wait another week? I don't know. But that being said, you're right. He didn't look right. He did not look right.
I think they just rushed him back because it was Aaron Rodgers, and they just wanted to,
Yeah, prime. They wanted to have a good game against Aaron Rodgers, and it turned out to be a boring game all the way around because no one scored for a long time. Basically, it was like 3-0 for like forever. So anyway, well, that's plenty to talk about there. And of course, those poor Lions, as you mentioned, they just can't find their way to a win.
He's really bad. It doesn't matter where he's at. He's just really bad.
He is really, really bad. It's sad to say, but he's really, really bad. All right, we come to the end of the show. Let's hit the air horn on the show now. Woo! All right, and only a little bit of overtime. And guys, I just say, we had overtime because we took a timeout and a halftime in the middle. So that's over. It's not really overtime. We're actually on time.
We'll be okay.
Yeah, simmer down, everybody. Simmer down. All right, Trev, give us your social media so people can follow you.
I'm on Twitter.
WFT, Ref the District podcast, Football Garbage Time podcast, Full Press Coverage, Content, Contributor podcast, articles, everything. And then I'm on Instagram, Trev_Stores. And we also have a Ref the District podcast Instagram out there too. So
yes, sir. And definitely check all that out, because Ref the District is fantastic. And you guys are still doing that four-part series. Is that still going?
That's why I just said, thank you very much. Yeah, episode 2 of the 4-part series is dropping tomorrow on YouTube. Go to Ref the District YouTube channel, subscribe, click, take a look, and check that episode 2 tomorrow.
Yeah, it's great. And episode 1 was fantastic. It's really good stuff, really good work that's being done here by Ref the District, really important work. So everyone, check it out. It's really, really great stuff and very informative. And don't forget to follow Trev at TrevStores, WFT, on Twitter. And of course, you can follow me on Twitter at FDGarbageTime. And as always, thank you for listening and wasting time with us. And until next time, enjoy your NFL week.
Yeah, guys.